The Global Achievement Gap. Why even our best schools don't teach the new survival skills our children need, and what we can do about it. Author, Tony Wagner. There are two achievement gaps in our education systems. The first is the gap between the quality of schooling that most middle-class kids get, and the quality of schooling available for most poor and minority children, and the consequent disparity in results. The second is the global achievement gap, the gap between what even our best public schools are teaching and testing, versus what all students will need to succeed as learners, workers, and citizens in today's global knowledge economy. A new context for schooling. In the 21st century, master of the basic skills of reading, writing, and math is no longer enough. Work, learning, and citizenship in the 21st century demand that we all know how to think, how to reason, analyze, weigh, evidence, problem solving, and to communicate effectively. These are no longer skills that only the elites in a society must master. They are essential skills for all of us. Teacher and administrator preparation. Very few teacher preparation programs focus on developing the skills needed to be an effective teacher, and they rarely give them meaningful teaching experiences with knowledgeable and effective supervisors. Lack of adequate teacher preparation and support is considered the primary cause for outstanding public school teacher attrition rate. Studies show that nearly 1 in 2 teachers who start out in the classroom leave after just 5 years. Core competencies versus content coverage. The real problem with educator preparation programs is that they focus on ensuring that the future teachers and administrators have covered a broad range of required academic content, content that in many cases has little to do with the actual requirements of the job. As we must facilitate the evolution of students' classes and assessments from memorization to mastery, we must do the same for those of adults. We need to identify the competencies that are most important to be an effective teacher or administrator, and then develop ways that adults can show proficiency. Instead of having students, teachers, and would-be administrators memorize the parts of the car, metaphorically speaking, of course, they have to demonstrate that they can actually drive. New learning styles. To better understand how young people today are differently motivated, we need to see that they're growing up in an environment that is radically different from previous generations. In the simplest terms, they are coming of age while tethered to the internet, as well as to a host of instant communication devices that were unimaginable 20 years ago. Learning as discovery. The experience of learning or conducting research on the web is radically different from that of the classroom learning or library research. Now, with incredible amounts of information available through the web, we find a new kind of learning, assuming preeminence, learning that's discovery-based. We are constantly discovering new things as we browse through the emergent digital libraries. Indeed, web surfing fuses learning and entertainment, creating infotainment. Learning by creating. New developments on the web are giving young people a set of new experiences that create a hunger for more than merely learning through discovery. Web 2.0 provides an extraordinary number of opportunities to exercise one's passion to create. Today, anyone who has even a rudimentary understanding of how the internet works can fashion new web content that will be seen by all users. Rethinking teacher and parental authority. When I spoke with Cornell University's Tracy Mitrano, she was concerned about the need for teachers to work with students in different ways. We truly have to reorient the concept of who a teacher is and what a teacher does. The teacher is a facilitator versus information dictator. Teachers also have to model the behaviors they are trying to teach. They need to show critical thinking and problem solving. And they have to really listen to what kids do in their free time and try very hard to figure out how to get students from where they are to where they want to be. We need a teacher we can really talk to, not just about school things, but things going on in our lives. We want to know that a teacher cares. Students in college focus groups think that what is important is to have a teacher who doesn't talk down to students, who is someone students can relate to. Andrew Bruck said that parents need to respect the extraordinary capabilities of students. Our generation wants to do things. They don't want to be stymied by the hierarchy of authority. It's important to nurture children's creativity. There's so much pressure to succeed and to go to a brand-name school. There's no need for parents to pile on the stress. A new dialogue for our children's future. We are not going to transform education by simply replacing one administration with another, or even by passing new laws. Instituting better assessments is the one most important change we can make tomorrow that would have the greatest impact. But before we consider a host of other policy recommendations, we must have a long overdue dialogue, a discussion that might well start with a simple admission and question. I thought I knew what students needed to learn, and and what a good school looks like, because I went to school, and it worked for me. But times have changed, and maybe students today do something different. If all students are to acquire the new skills for success in the 21st century, the change must be systemic. And it must start in individual living rooms and classrooms, in schools and faculty meetings and district central offices. It begins with a change of mind and heart, a change that comes through adults learning together. Above all else, powerful questions are what drive real learning, and such learning is a precondition for lasting change. Following are some of the essential questions that we need to explore in every school, every community, and in every department of education, and in all educational organizations. What does it mean to be an educated adult in the 21st century? What do we think all high school graduates need to know and be able to do to be well prepared for college, careers, and citizenship? Since we can't teach everything, what is most important? How might our definition of academic rigor need to change in the age of information explosion? What are the best ways to know whether students have mastered the skills that matter most? How to create a better assessment and accountability system that gives us the information we need to ensure that all students are learning essential skills? What do we need to do in our schools to motivate students to be curious and imaginative and to enjoy learning for its own sake? How do we ensure that every student has an adult advocate in his or her school who knows the students well? How do we both support our educators and hold them more accountable for results? What changes are needed in how educators are trained, how they work together in schools, and how they are supervised and evaluated in order to enable them to continuously improve? What do good schools look like? Schools where all students are mastering the skills that matter most. How do they differ from the schools we have, and what can we learn from them?